Book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Blessed be your holy name, our Lord, our God, who alone is worthy of our praise and worship, who alone is holy. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you call all of us to walk in your light. And Lord, we cannot describe in words to express our gratefulness for what you have done for us and what you are doing for us and what you will do for us, for you are the same. Thank you, Lord, for blessing all of us to experience such a love. Such a love, O Lord, like a mother comforts the child, like a father guides a child. Lord, you have been doing all of this ever since, O Lord, we have started breathing on this earth, O Lord, for we were in your mind. And we are beautifully, wonderfully, fearfully made by thy very own hand. And thank you, Lord, that you had purposed that all of us standing here today, that you would receive the truth and you would sanctify us by the truth and you would anoint us by the Holy Ghost and you would separate us from the filthiness of the world and you would grant us the light of the lamp of the word, to be a blessing, to be a lighthouse, to be the vessel of the Lord for the children of God, for the corners of the earth, for a gospel to be preached. Lord, we thank you, Lord. None of us are worthy, but you are worthy. None of us are strong, but you are strong. None of us are holy, but you are holy. And Lord, you spoke to us, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Lord, we believe in your word. For you said, let there be light, and there was light. Since you said, be you holy, and Lord, we shall be holy. Because, O Lord, not because of our righteousness, not because of what we believe, but Lord, we believe in thee. We trust in thee. You are our everlasting strength, O Lord. For we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Lord, abiding in your word is the only strength. Staying in the presence of God is your only strength, O Lord. And Lord, being part of the fellowship of God is where the strength manifests. For Lord, you want all of us to abide as the vine, to abide as the words of the Lord, conform to the word of God, to the image of God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, you blessed all of us today because we gathered. And Lord, all our dear loving brethren joining us from different corners of this wall. And Lord, until you blow the trumpet, we will continue to fulfill the purpose of our life. For you are our life, and you are our purpose, and you are our everything, O Lord. May you unite us today. And Lord, may you take us to the higher ground, that we shall be seated in the heavenly places, where we will be ministered by the Holy Spirit, where we will be touched by the divine healer, where we will be taught by the greatest preacher, the teacher, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for you are our good shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for today. And Lord, we bless our dear family of God, our brothers, our sisters, one another in the name of Jesus Christ, for we are not complete without one another. And Lord, we are all complete with you. You are our everything, O Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we surrender everything that happens today for the glory of thy name. And we surrender everything may come tomorrow for the glory of thy name. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. We thank the Lord for this day. We thank the Lord that we did not turn to be a wicked man or an unfaithful man or a wicked vessel or an unfaithful vessel in the last 7 days. Amen. Anything can happen to anyone at any point of time. That is the uncertainty of our life. That is also the reality of our flesh. We thank the Lord. The Lord kept us safe and sound, that we decided to walk into the course of the Lord. Because it is not you, it is the Lord who give us the strength, and it is the Lord who grant us the invitation of the Spirit to bring all of us to His house. We thank the Lord for keeping us safe, which is something that we often overlook and we don't take it for the sincere, humble gratitudeness of our heart, but sometimes we take it for granted. If you are my Father in heaven, it is your duty to protect me. If you are my God, it is your duty to lead me and guide me. Which is true if we are the tabernacle and if He sits in the throne of our tabernacle, which means I have given Him the complete control over of my life. If He is not the ship captain of my life, but if He is the sunlight that I am marching forward to, I cannot tell the Lord why the ship is going this way. You should take me to the right direction, right? So the way the Lord works in our life is, He will teach us how to work, He will teach us how to walk, and He will teach us how to make decisions. Then He will simply sit and watch what we do. Why? Because we are created in His image and in His likeness. He is not the ruler who rules the slaves, but He is the shepherd who loves the sheep. The shepherd wants the sheep to learn. The shepherd wants the sheep to be aware of the wolves. The shepherd wants the sheep to obey and trust and to do everything on its own. When I say on our own, not everything, but everything that has to be done within our capacity, within our responsibility, and within our accountability. Three different things: responsibility, accountability, capacity. What is capacity? We can't do everything. The Lord has anointed us, made us, formed us, created us beautifully, uniquely, that He knows what you can do, and He knows how far you can go, and He knows what you should not do. So that is where the Lord draws the capacity. So now, responsibility is where the Lord placed us. But most of the time, if you look at the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, people are confounded. They fell from disgrace when they embrace responsibility. Why? The power of the pride takes over the fruit of the service. Do you hear me? Service is the process. Fruit is the yield. The responsibility belongs to God, who alone can stay responsible throughout time. We cannot do that. We are humans. We are sincere on Monday, insincere on Tuesday. That is who we are. We are faithful on Thursday, we are unfaithful on Friday. That is who we are. We are joyful on Sunday, we are sorrowful on Monday. We change. The day changed, the morning changed, we change because we are still in flesh. We have not been redeemed yet. That doesn't mean that your life is over. That doesn't mean that you are not a child of God. That doesn't mean that you are weak. That doesn't mean that we are so bad that God is going to stay far away from us. My brethren, all these attacks, adversaries, all these afflictions, pain, sickness, anger, weariness, everything you can name it. The only goal of all these things that work against the bride, that work against the child of God, is to make the child of God to say by itself, I am not a child of God. Do you know how serious it is? Because you are the parts of the word. You have the power of proclaiming. You have the power of creating. You have the power of fulfilling. It is not a joke when the Lord says, be aware of your free will.
So all the world that is working against us for us to say something that you are not supposed to say. For us to utter something that you are not supposed to utter. The same way Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness is the same way we are tempted in our wilderness. Oh, if you are a child of God, show me this. Or if you are a child of God, prove me this. If you are a child of God, show me that you are fruitful. My brethren, you do not serve devil. You don't answer devil. You don't obey devil. You are not obliged to devil. So whenever things come against us, we should have the discernment, what is the fruit of it? What is the end game of this process? If the end game does not show Jesus Christ, stop it, turn aside. Keep quiet. Why this is very important is the Lord is speaking to us from Genesis until the book of Revelation, one single focus of how he is serving his people and how the people are serving him. In between, there is no pollution, there is no corruption, there is no other thoughts, there is no other spirit, there is no familiarity. Because the battle between us who are in vanity and the Lord who is in eternity, familiarity should not in between. Why? God is not familiar. We are the family of God, but God is not familiar. What is familiar? I can predict what he can do. I know him. You do not know. The word was God. God was not the word. So the mind of God, as we read the scripture today, book of Isaiah chapter 26, the mind of the brother and the sister, the mind of the church, the mind of the ministry, the mind of a man, a woman, the mind of the child of God that stayed on him, that trusted him, will receive the everlasting strength. So teach me, Lord, to wait. Which means waiting itself is a lesson. So someone is teaching. By how? By not answering what you want. Correct? If he answer, why you wait? But if he don't answer, you wait for his answer, isn't it? But it is not necessary, he must answer you. Who is he to answer you? Who are you to question him? Unless I plead, I put on the petition that is in his perfect will, and that petition will be fulfilled in his perfect will, in his time. Until then, I wait. How long? You don't know. I don't know. Long suffering. You don't know. I don't know. Perfect will of God. You don't know. I don't know. Thou knowest, Lord. I do not know, Lord. So the more I think about it, the only thing the Lord allowed me to be born, to grow, and to make mistakes, and to learn that he is my master, and to be baptized in his name, to start living this marathon of race, to finish everything, you know, in endurance, in silence, in patience, in kindness, in the spirit of the Lord. The whole purpose of my life is knowing Jesus Christ, not knowing everything else. Everything else doesn't mean anything. If my knowledge of Christ is compromised, it is not complete yet. Then what is the profit of doing everything else? That is where kings of Judah fell. That is where kings of Israel fell. That is where prophets of the Lord who decided to prophesy on their behalf, they fell. That is where all the servants of God who are called to offer sacrifice in the temple of Jerusalem, they became priests, Pharisees, Sadducees, but they became the adversaries against the very own apostles of God. How come it happened? Servanthood was misunderstood between priesthood. Servanthood was misunderstood between kingdom of Judah and Israel. Servanthood was twisted and misunderstood when the Lord put people in different places. Kings, prophets, priests, rulers, governors, builders. So many different layers of spectrum, like a rainbow with different colors. But everything comes from light. It is transparent. You see how amazing it is. We see seven colors, but it comes from the light that is transparent, that has no color. So the Lord made you uniquely. Do you believe that? So beautifully. To the point whereby you do not lack anything. If you do not believe that, we tell the Lord, you are not a good creator. You should do better. No. Every time we feel insufficiency in you, you tell the Lord, you are not sufficient. Every time we feel there is uncertainty in me, you tell the Lord. The Bible says you are the same yesterday, today and forever, maybe not in my life. Because I see uncertainty. Uncertainty, familiarity, but eternity goes far away. Divinity is sleeping. So there are so many things against the children of God, ministry of God, church of God, kingdom of God, city of God, people of God. Most importantly, the servanthood of God. Hood, right? Hood means what? Something that covers you, not under your feet. Am I right? It's called servanthood. Something covers me like a tent, like a roof of righteousness. It is not under my feet. Foundation is under my feet. Why? That represents I'm a tree rooted in that vineyard of truth. The foundation, I can't move. Because I'm a tree, I don't have a leg. I'm not a runner. I'm a tree, I can't move. That shows your spiritual steadfastness. That is important for us to wait. And servanthood means the servanthood of God should have preeminence over me. I bow to the servanthood of God because he is my master. There is an oath between me and him, which is, I serve you, Lord, until I die. After I die, I will worship you, I will praise you. I will just sing songs unto thee, because thank God, after you die, there is no need of sermons. When you enter the promised land, nobody is going to talk about faith. Nobody is going to talk about, do you know what all the apostles did? It's over. Blessed rest, promised land. When the night cometh, no man shall work. Amen? So there is going to be a change in season. There is going to be a sudden U-turn. Sudden change in the direction of God. The way he performed from patriarchs to judges to kings and prophets. It keeps on going. He's changing the way he deals with his people. And we are the seventh church age. Do you have the assurance or assertiveness to say that we are going to be the same seventh church age before the Lord come and take us home? There must be a change. There is going to be a change. There will be a change in the way the Lord finish the last gasp of the compassing around. Because seventh day was not the same as the first day. People compass a city seven times. Not the same. Why? He is coming. Amen? He is coming. When Jesus Christ came for the first time, things changed. Upside down, but people were distracted. So when he came, they could not see him. He will do the same pattern. He will come. He will make a huge noise that all the people will be distracted, like wife of Lot, looking everywhere. Then he will come. He knows the wise virgin who understand the season, who are looking up to his coming. Only those can see him. So, teach me, Lord, to wait. My question is, what are you waiting for? Waiting for him or waiting for a prayers? Correct? I can wait. Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait, to heal me, to show me a way, to serve you with mighty power, to baptize people, thousands of people. Teach me, Lord, to wait. I will wait patiently. Teach me, Lord, to overcome all the problems in my workplace. I will wait patiently. Teach me, Lord, to overcome all the adversaries. I will wait patiently. The Lord will say, I'm coming. You don't want to wait? I know how to wait. Are you sure? My brethren, are you sure that we know how to wait until the Lord comes? If he do not teach us how to wait for his coming, none of us can remain as the wise virgin. Waiting, trimming the lamp, that we stay sharp, sensitive. Amen? So by God's grace, today we will start from book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. And I wanted to start with book of Isaiah, because book of Isaiah says in verse 1 to 3, salvation is made of walls and bulwark. What kind of statement it is? How can salvation can be made of walls and bulwarks? Imagine that all of us, we live in the times of, let's say, Hezekiah. We are a small village, and in the midst of a forest, and there are beasts all around the forest. If I don't build a wall, you can't sleep peacefully. As simple as that. Because a beast can come and take you from your house. Like a tiger or lion, for instance. So all the people put their mind together. They understand the wall must be of this height because this beast can jump onto this. So we raise the height of the wall. It must be of this much thickness, and you put all the spears everywhere so that the beast will not come inside. And if at all some enemies of different village come to invade us, at least we have set some towers as watchmen who will come and warn us. We'll be prepared. We can be sleeping. They will warn us. We will be awake. We'll be waiting for the war. So, salvation is made of walls and bulwarks, which is literally true if you have to rely on a wall that can defend you from the beast. It happens today, even for the land of Israel. They have a wall of weapons, iron wall of gates. They do, made by men, with the intellect of men. The Lord is showing mercy, but the true wall, the true weapon, is not anything that is made by the hands of men. Amen? So, in the Old Testament, people were learning about protection, safety, by the work of their hands. The Lord was teaching them. The Lord was working with them. The Lord taught Noah to make an ark. The Lord taught Nehemiah to make a wall. It was all physical work of your physical hands. But he was preserving the royal seed, because Jesus Christ must be born from the family of Judah. So he was preserving the royal seed. Amen. So now let's turn our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah and listen to the prophet who is speaking by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Chapter 7, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house." So from now on, I want all of us to focus deeply the word gate and the word gates. Because one is singular, one is plural. There is only one gate, or there are many gates. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house. So one Lord, one house, one gate. Amen? So only one gate to enter into the house of the Lord, because there is only one Lord, one house. And proclaim there this word. One word. Only one word. Not a sentence, not the words. One truth. And say, "Hear the word of the Lord." All in singularity. Unity. One. "All ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord." Why the word gate becomes gates? So there are different gates to worship the Lord. "All ye of Judah." Do you see the beautiful representation of all ye people of Judah? Children of God. Prince of peace. Lord of hosts. King of kings. Lord of lords. "All ye of Judah," who came from Judah. The line of Judah is our reception in the New Testament. And here in the Old Testament, the kingdom of Judah was addressed, because God called Jeremiah to speak the kingdom of Judah. Because kingdom of Israel, they are already silenced in the name of captivity. Judah is still dancing, making so much noise. So the Lord sent one more vessel. Now, thus saith the Lord of hosts. So gates, then hosts. Multiple vessels, multiple. Or many, not one. "The God of Israel, among your ways, your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." Amant. But we are used to the word potter, mold me. He make me, and he make me to be something that he want me to be. That is very nice to hear. But the Lord is amant your ways. That is, loose thyself from the neck, from the band of the neck. Last time, that was the title. Loose thyself. Deny thyself. That is New Testament. Loose thyself, Old Testament. And the Lord says, amend thyself. Just make yourself straight. Ways, plural. Doings, plural. "And I will cause you to dwell in the house, in this place. Trust ye not in lying words." Because verse 2 says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." That is truth. Only one word. One word of God. Amen. And verse 4 says, "Trust ye not in lying words, saying,
the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.
Why? It is repeated three times. Read three times. The only book that has words multiple times, three times, is Book of Revelation. Woe, woe, woe. It's been mentioned few times in the Book of Revelation. Three times. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. There is nothing wrong in that, but the Lord says, don't lie. Don't exaggerate, don't lie. You are lying, the words are lying. Verse 5, for if ye thoroughly among your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment, one judgment, not judgments, between a man and his neighbor. So, why the Lord says you should thoroughly execute judgment? But we are not the judge, he is the judge. Verse 6, if ye oppress not the stranger and fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Which means to your hurt, you will be walking after other gods. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. This is where people of Israel were confounded. Forever and ever. Forever and ever. And Jeremiah said, let's go to Chaldeans for a trip. Forever and ever. Never. Never. Because God said forever and ever. We humans must come back to the reality that you can die today. Your family will cry tomorrow. For maybe next 30 days. Then they will recover. They will continue to live and the life goes on. Am I right? No one is indispensable. No one is an immortal, right? None of us are going to live against God's grace. No one can do that. But the whole world is trying. That's a different joke. We leave it aside. Forever and ever is only possible by death, my dear brethren. Amen? Unless I die to my flesh, to my sin, I cannot live in His spirit, in His word. Physically, spiritually, as a whole. So by death, resurrection is there. So by death, I will live with Him forever and ever. So that is why for us, we go to sleep. For everyone else, our life is gone. I died. All my future plans, my career plans, my savings, my richness, all gone. But for us, it's all stored in a different bank, the bank of God. In the far, far away place where you will cross, a sweet river, you will cross. So now, how confusion happens in people when selfishness kicks in. So he says very clearly, forever and ever, behold, ye trust in lying word that cannot profit, because the words of truth will profit you to inherit the kingdom of God. The words of the world will not profit, but you will inherit the kingdom of men. No doubt about that. That is the prosperity being preached in all the denominational churches. They are not lying. You will be prospered when you are selfish, when you are full of arrogance and pride. You will make money and you will be healthy, because all you take care of is your own health. You will do everything, take care of your health. Of course you will be healthy. But that is not the healthiness that God is looking at. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. True health. Whatever happens to me, the fulfillment of God, no one can touch it. True richness. That is what God wanted people to embrace. But to their amaze, the way Solomon built the temple was so magnificent. The way David was overcoming all the battles was so amazing. They were so happy to identify themselves with their kings. And they wanted God just to make sure their kings are not losing. Why? Reputation. Yes. I can't be in a place where the kings are losing. I have a name to maintain. And the Lord is still inquiring them until today. Which name? The Lord is asking. Which reputation? So, the seven churches, my dear brethren, will go through the same process in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? fivefold ministry. So different from others, you know. Hey, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Hey, fivefold ministry. We are very unique. Book of Revelation, finished it. Genesis, easy. All the revelation, all good. A serpent knows. The devil knows. There are people who do not know any doctrine. They please the Holy Spirit. There are people who know everything. They cannot please the Holy Spirit. The Lord draws the line. You know me? Show me. If I know Christ, my life will speak to Him, not my lips. If you know Jesus, your life will show Jesus to others. You don't even know. Answer me. When Peter baptized 3,000, then 5,000, what he said? He didn't say anything. He said, you are all sinners. You took Prince of Death and you loved Prince of Life. You just wanted to let go Prince of Life, Prince of Peace, and you wanted some man for you. And people were pricked and they said, Apostle Peter, tell us what we should do. And he said, baptize in the name of the Lord. They were baptized. Amen? Work of the Holy Spirit. Warm the furnace and the metal is very hot. Take the hammer of truth, hit once, and the sword is straightened. Why? The Lord knows when He met Saul, did He teach him doctrines? No. He asked him questions to prick his repentance. He told him, why are you persecuting my church? Did He explain to him, Saul, we need one more time. I'm going to explain what happened in Garden of Eden. Do you know when you killed, when you ordered the stoning of Stephen, do you know how sad I was? You offended me, Saul. So Saul, I'm going to do this and this. I'm going to show you the revelation of Apostle John in the book of Revelation. I'm going to show it to you also. You should believe me. The Lord did not say anything. Hey, Saul, why are you persecuting my church? What Saul said, Lord, tell me what I should do. What is this conversation? What is this conversation? The seed of God will manifest when it is exposed to the presence of God. That's it. When God called Moses, He told him, come here to me. He came inside the burning bush, the presence. The Lord said, you are going to work for me. Even you can't change it. Why? The will of the Lord will have preeminence over the seed of God. Now the question is, if we are the seed of God, what am I waiting for? What am I looking for? What I want? What I truly want? Do you really think this world will see another 30 years? Please be realistic. I think many years ago in the prayer gathering I mentioned, we meet a lot of important, I can't tell the name, we meet a lot of different groups from different countries who study the feasibility and viability of world economy from food, energy and everything. They can't see anything beyond 2030. They said it never happened to them before. Such an uncertainty of crisis. Such a time that we live in. But you can't love God because of this. Which means you are scared of this uncertainty. Isn't it? So the Lord does not want His people to look up to Him, to love Him, to do His work because something is going to be destroyed. That is not love. That is selfishness. Because you want to escape from something else. That is not salvation. That is what the wilderness shows. Those who followed God to escape from Egypt, they did not escape from God. Those who followed God through life and death, they enter the promised land. So which gate that is separating you and me? Let's continue. Verse 9. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery? Serpent stole the wife of Adam. Serpent in nature, Cain murdered Abel. Cain, the nature of Cain killed Abel. Committed adultery, we know what happens to everything in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The harlotry, spiritual harlotry that is vulnerable to the bride of Christ. In the Old Testament, Eve, Dinah, Tamar, so many characters whom we can see what happened to them. An abuse by serpent in nature, which is also possible to the spirit. The bride of the spirit, the spiritual bride, who are exposed to the attacks of the vileness, the filthiness of the world. And swear falsely, using the name of God for your own honest gain, which is dishonest gain. Using the name of the Lord for our own profit. And burn incense to Baal. I want you to remember the name Baal. B-A-A-L. And you may think it's a Canaanite deity. Some evil god. If I hear the name Baal, I know it's evil. We have to be very calm and understand what the word Baal represents. Baal means the Lord, that's all. It doesn't mean anything else. And you would be surprised. God's servant named the place where God met them in the name Baal. But which Baal the Lord is referring to? That is where things are different. I serve the Lord, which Lord? I serve Jesus, which Jesus? I serve God, which God? That is the question. Same name, but means entirely different. I will go there now. And walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house. The Lord did not say, come and stand in your house. We can just have a video call, you know. You can just be wherever comfortable for you. You know, I will come meet you. My brethren, we should be there where the comforter is, not where is what is comfortable to us. We should go and meet. God told Abraham, I know that you are the father of all nations, but I don't care. Walk for 2 days. Meet me on the top of the mountain. You still serve me. He is the king. Everyone bow to God's commandment. Amen? He is the king. So we go and meet him. We strive not against our knowledge, but we against our very own flesh. We deny ourselves. And he says, in this house you come and stand before me, and which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? A question. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord. This is what happened in the New Testament when Jesus Christ overthrew the table and he chased all the merchandise away from the temple because they were buying and selling, which means they were using the courts of the Lord for their own benefit. Now, but go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did do it for the wickedness of my people Israel. My brethren, verse 12, it separates from all the first 11 verses. Because first 11 verses, focusing on the house, my name is in the house. So come and stand before me. And verse 12, it says, but go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did do it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Again, my people Israel. So we are going to start from here. What is this gate? What are these gates? And what is this house? And what is this place? And what is the name Baal? Why God speaks through the prophet, you serve Baal, not me. I'm very angry with you. My brethren, let's bring everything together by God's grace. We will meditate on what is Baal, what is gate, what are gates, what is house. Amen. So let's turn our Bible, start from the word Baal. 1 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 11. This is where David establishes Jerusalem. So remember, the real name of Jerusalem is Yerushalayim. Now, David overcomes the army of Philistines, and verse 11 says, so they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. So there was a victory for the Son of God over the enemies. And then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they call the name of the place Baal Perazim. So now tell me, who gave the name? David and his people. If David is the Son of God, why he is giving such a name, Baal Perazim? But no. So look at this, we start from here. Baal Perazim. So Baal means Lord. Perazim means breakthrough. Or in other words, something was completely sealed, could not find a way in. The Lord gave a breach. I used to think the word breach means it's a wrong thing. But this verse opened my eyes. Something is sealed, you cannot bust forth. You can't move forward. And the Lord says, don't worry, I will make a crack, a breach, and make a way. So David needed a breach, the Lord's breakthrough to overcome Philistines. And the place where the Lord blessed him to overcome, he gave a name, Baal Perazim. Remember the word Im, Elohim, Yerushalayim. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 28 verse 19. We will go through a few naming events of places, because God's servants in the Old Testament, they were tasked to change the name of the place. 28 verse, I will read from verse 18. So this is where Jacob had a dream. So he saw a ladder in the dream. You can meditate on your own. But after the dream was given, Jacob received some blessing from the Lord. Verse 18. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows. Took a stone that he put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. When I was reading the verse, I was immediately reminded of what Jesus said, no place for the Son of Man to lay his head. At first, I was not realizing why this verse was reminded to me. So Jacob needed a place to sleep. He put a pillow and put a pillow on top of it. And Jesus says there was no place for Son of Man to lay his head. And Jacob took that stone that was supposed to be the resting place of his head, his mind, correct? Because you place the head in his sleep, you rest your mind. The place of rest of his mind, he took that stone, he set it up as a pillar, as an altar, and he poured the oil upon the top of it, anointed that stone. And verse 19 says, he called the name of the place Bethel, but name of the city was called Luz at first. So, it was called Luz. The name Luz, you would see it in the New Testament about Timothy. So now, here we say Bethel is named by Jacob. So let's write it here, Bethel. And we should always separate this, Bethel. So here, I will write it in red. Beth means house. El means God. This is Lord's breakthrough. Bethel, house of God. Amen? So book of Jeremiah, we focused on the house of God where I put my name. Bethel, Old Testament, Jacob gave a name when the ladder was shown. As if people of flesh can climb to heaven. As if someone is restoring the connection, redeeming, repairing the breach so that the people can walk from one side to other side. So now, Bethel, Baal, Perazim. So two names, one named by Jacob, another named by David. Let's turn our Bibles to Joshua chapter 5. These are some important places that I want us to go through first. The changing of the name of the land, as the Lord also changed the name of the person. Chapter 5, verse 9. And here, I should read from verse 2. Chapter 5, from verse 2 to verse 9. If someone can read, I can write this. Chapter 5, from verse 2 to verse 9. Thank you, brother. God bless.
At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt, that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp, till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal until this day.
Amen. The name is called Gilgal unto this day. So now, the Bible says Joshua circumcised the second generation. My brethren, if there was no second generation, forget about the book of Jeremiah. Because no 12 tribes of Israel, no land division, no kingdom of Judah, no kingdom of Israel. So, Joshua circumcised second generation, and after the process completed, he says, the Lord rolled away the reproach of people this day, and he called the place Gilgal. So in Hebrew, Gilgal means circle of stones, which means stone, but in a circular shape that can rotate. Jesus Christ always identified himself as lively stone to all of us, the chief cornerstone. Amen? When the Lord died, his body was in the tomb, but when his disciples, they came to see him in the morning, the stone was rolled away. You remember the word rolled away, not moved, not thrown, rolled, because those stones I showed you last two Sundays, all the tombs in Hebrew culture, it's a stone with a circular shape so that they can easily move and close, because people cannot carry, it's quite heavy. They have to use the gravity. What? They take advantage of the gravity to move the stone, like how we all take advantage of grace to go forward in our lives. So that circle of stones, Joshua called the place Gilgal so that people will remember the Lord made a way. He rolled away the reproach. For instance, Lazarus was dead. His body was decaying inside the tomb. The Lord says, take the stone, take the rock, you know, the stone away. Which means people rolled the stone and Lazarus came out. The new man came out. The old man left there. The smell of the old man, it was sealed in the tomb itself. Now, Gilgal. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus 17, verse 7 and 9. Exodus 17, 7 and 9. It says, he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And this verse was also written in the book of Jeremiah and as well as Isaiah, that the prophet spoke that people of God will tell this, is there God among us or not? So now, Moses gave a name to the place, Massah and Meribah, as if two names given to show the agreement of the evil that was committed. Do you remember another place, Sodom and Gomorrah? They are not the same place, it's called Sodom and Gomorrah. Two different cities, but committed evil together to show the agreement as one. Remember another incident? Two people committed abomination when Phinehas threw a spear. Not one, two were committing abomination. So Phinehas threw a spear and the two were destroyed. Like Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. In order for Cain to be born, there must be agreement between Eve and serpent. If there is no agreement, Cain cannot be conceived. So evil is a result of two, not one. Now, here, Meribah and Massah was a reminder for Moses and God that this place people tempted the Lord to simply destroy them all. They were pushed into the edge of corner, you know, of anger, but Moses stood in the gap. Why? They were asking for water. And the place is remembered as tempted the Lord and they obeyed not.
Amen? A name given, but not something that glorifies the name of God. Amen? Remember the place Gilgal glorifies the name of God. Why? Rolled away the reproach. Feeling good. Massa, Meribah, also named by God's servant, but does not feel good. It reminds the sin of people. Genesis 35, verse 10 and 10 to 13. Genesis 35, verse 10 to 13. Let's read from verse 9, because I want to bring God's appearance to Jacob. Verse 9, God appeared unto Jacob again. And when he came out of Padan Aram, he blessed him and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. It's a very important incident that we should recall. If I go and tell my son, from today your name is Hadriel Joshua, then I go. But I did not call him Hadriel Joshua. The Lord says, Jacob, from today your name is Israel. He did not go. And he called him Israel. Until the Lord called his name. His name is not Israel. Until the Lord called you by your name, you did not see him. You could not receive his truth. The Lord called all of us by name. The Bible says it. Amen. He all called all of us by name. He didn't call all of us by group. Oh, prophetic revelation, come here. Let's go to heaven. No, no, no. He will call you by name. He will speak to you face to face about you, about who you are, what happened to you. Like a father to a son. One-to-one connection. But yet, without compromising, fellowship. Because that is our agape. Now, God called his name Israel. Verse 11 says, and he said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. That is exactly what he told to Adam. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of the kingdom of Judah, kingdom of Israel. Nations will be of thee, from the 12 tribes, multiple nations. And we can see Psalm 83, the 10 nations also surrounding the land of Israel. Some of the nations were also part of this promise because they are all part of God's children. They all separated. They became a different nation altogether. Now, verse 12, it says, and the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it. So the Lord is the advocate, passing the inheritance from grandfather, great-grandfather to Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Father and grandfather. Now, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. This is where Joshua's promise comes. The responsibility of Joshua was to give the land to the people of Israel and to divide the land and die. He was not called to maintain the land. The Lord took him. He gave the responsibility to the kings. And they failed miserably. And to thy seed after thee, which means after you die, I will give thee the land. And God went up from him in the place that he talked with him. Remember, as we read book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 12 says, go to the place that is set in my name, then you do this. And now, verse 13 says, God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. My brethren, there is a place for all of us to go and meet him. A quiet place. A very calm place. Where God can speak to you. By giving you inspiration. By touching you. By comforting you. By warning you. By pruning you. We all must go to that place. By emptying ourselves. Why? The word Bethel I showed you is house of God. Feels very good, right? But the true meaning of the Hebrew name of Beth means hallowed place. Nothing is there. It's hallowed. It's hallowed, which means nothing but what was supposed to be there. The word shallow is different, which is here, not here, not there, you know, like, you know, splashing water on the ocean, not going deep dive, splashing like a, you know, shallow faith, shallow truth, shallow service. It's a hallowed place that is represented by the Hebrew meaning of the word Beth and Bethel. which was a place of worship for seamen, because those days people used to go for journey, for travel. They had a place where they go and sing songs and worship God. It's called Bethel. You know how beautiful it is? When Noah was saved, he was sailing. Amen? The whole world, the earth, the beast of the earth, whatever the flesh, the Lord destroyed. The children of God were seamen sailing on the ocean of flood until they landed. They worshiped God in the promised rest, blessed rest. How deep the reflection of what God is doing in the names. So you remember, Bethel means house of God. In this world we sing songs, but spiritually the bride will sail through all the storm and will reach the place of seamen, which is like fish that doesn't need an ark. Because in the times of Noah, fish was not put inside the ark. It was, you know, it was swimming, enjoying, you know, in the flood. Flood could not destroy the fish. We will reach the place of worship. Amen? The promised land. Now, the word he is going to give here, Jacob, he set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. Again, pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the place where God spake with him, Bethel. This is 35, verse 10, 13. Amen? But previously, few chapters before, in 28, the name Bethel was also mentioned, where he received the dream of the ladder. Correct? Is it repeating? Is it the same place? What's happening here? Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 32. Please read this. Read this, brother. Genesis 32, verse 22 to verse 30, please.
And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the fort Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall no more, it shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob answered him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved."
Amen. "I have seen God face to face, but yet my life is preserved." So he called the name Peniel. Verse 30, it says, he called the name of the place Peniel because "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So, 32, Jacob is giving name. 35, Jacob was named, and he gave the name again, Bethel. So Genesis 28 is where Jacob received a later dream, and he gave a place name called Bethel, correct? 32, his name is still Jacob. But in the dream, if you look at this very carefully, his name was changed, as Brother Zoel was reading, from Jacob to Israel. Then he gave the name Peniel. That is 32. But 35 is where God called him Israel. Then he gave the name to the place Bethel. So different places, different fulfillment, different meanings. So if we just quickly go through the name's meaning so far that we read, Baal Perazim, the Lord of Breakthrough, David named it. Bethel, house of God, or hallowed place, a place of worship for seamen, Jacob named it. Do not forget, whether you like it or not, we are all seamen, because Noah survived the flood. We all came from what happened after Noah landed the land. Isn't it? through the flood of ocean, the entire humanity was preserved. Amen? Now, and Jesus told the disciples, I will make you as the fisher of men. Not just fishermen, fishers of men. You will actually fish, you know, men, catch people for me. So now we go here. Gilgal is named by who? Joshua, whom the Lord used to give the land to the people of Israel. And he said the place means rolling away the reproach. Something happened, that is circumcision. Spiritually, for all of us, we all had our Gilgal at some point of our life. The Lord rolled away the reproach. He rolled away our blindness. We saw him and he took us. We are circumcised spiritually. Circle of stones. Massa, Meribah, two places that is similar to Sodom and Gomorrah, which does not, you know, glorify God, but just proclaim people's sin, people's mistake. Peniel is what named by Jacob again when his life was preserved, when he saw God face to face. Peniel. Now, let's go to Mamre and Hebron. So, these two names should instantly remind you Abraham. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. All these places are absolutely important for us to continue our sermon series. That's why we are going through. 18, verse 18 says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, look at this verse. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, not by him. It's a very different word. In him, which means someone who is going to come from the line, the genealogy of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Perez, David, Solomon, all the way to Jesus Christ. In him, all the nations shall be blessed. So now, this is the promise about the word nations, because we are studying Kingdom of Judah, Kingdom of Israel, nations. Now let's turn your Bibles to Genesis 13:18. Let's go back. Here he is not Abraham, he is still Abram. 13 verse 18 says, then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. So Mamre is a plain, like a wilderness, a small one, in the place called Hebron. Imagine Hebron is a larger land and Mamre is part of it, a smaller land. And Abraham dwelt. His name is not Abraham, just Abram. If you look at Abraham, Jacob, the Lord Yahweh, Jehovah, he changed the name to Abraham. You could see the word Ha. For Jacob, he changed the name to Israel. You could see the word El, Elohim, El. But when the Lord gave 10 commandments to Moses, he says, I am the Lord thy God. Remember, I am the Lord thy God. You could always see this introduction in the scripture, in the Old Testament. He says, I am the Lord thy God. So when we pray, we say, our Lord, our God. Amen. I am the Lord thy God. Lord, Yahweh, God, Elohim. If you look at Bible in different translation, there is a translation called Names of God Bible. You could read this same 10 commandments and you will be blessed. If you say, I am Yahweh, your Elohim. I am the only Savior. Cannot be splitted. How come people were confounded that 2-3? Because the translation literally confused their mind. But if you go to the original translation, Tanakh or Hebrew version, it says, I am the Lord, thy God. He did not say, I am the Lord and your God. Thy God, which means, I am the Lord, thy God. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Abraham, Israel. Yerushalayim, Baal Perazim, Elohim. Why it all sounds similar? Why it ends similar? Because every bit of the letter has the meaning of life in it. The Lord had put his word. He magnified his word above his name. Why? His word is manifested in the name itself. There is a meaning. So now, here we see the dwelling of Abraham, which is Abraham. Now let's turn to 14:13. let's look at the transition. Chapter 14, verse 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner. These were confederate with Abram. So Abram is going through a journey, but the place is still called Mamre, Hebron. Because the word Hebron is absolutely critical for David. Do you remember David ruled Hebron 7 years, exactly 7 years. He ruled Jerusalem 33 years, exactly 33 years. To be precise, the Bible says, 6 years, 6 months, 7 years, 6 months, 33 years. To say together 40 years, but David did not rule Jerusalem 40 years. He ruled Hebron 7 years because Saul was there, his son was there. 7 years, so beautiful. Why Hebron? It was the people of Hebron who received David. Now, let's continue. Chapter 23, verse 17. Chapter 23, verse 17. Genesis 23, verse 17. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, which the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham. Not Abraham, amen. Now his name is changed because God is in between. He intervened. Changed the name. After he changed the name, he inherited as a possession in the presence of the children of Heth before all the went at the gate of the city. What is this gate of the city? Come on. Plain of Mamre. Plain, man. Plain. Just keep it simple. What is this gate of the city? Which gate of the city? To which city? What is his gate? 35:27. Genesis 35:27. And Jacob. Genesis 35:27. I hope you're there. Verse 27. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father unto Mamre. Who is Isaac? Son of Abraham. Where was Abraham? Mamre. Now, where is Isaac? Mamre. Old and ready to go. Unto the city of Arba, which is in Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. They were not wandering. They were sojourners. Which means, what is sojourners? They had a tourist guide. They had a leader who was taking them to the places where they shall go. The presence of God. Because God said, without you, I'm not taking one single step. And Abraham said, without your presence, I'm not going anywhere. Sojourners, which means spirit is leading them. Sojourners. Wanderers, which means world is leading them. Wanderers. Are we the wanderer? No, we are sojourners. We know exactly where we are going because we are following the ark. Amen? So now, and the days of Isaac were 104 years, and Isaac gave up the host and died, was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Esau and Jacob buried the father Isaac. Praise the Lord. The two sons of the father buried the father. Sounds good. The two sons of Sennacherib killed Sennacherib. Oh, sounds evil. But it happened. The two sons killed their own father. And here the two sons buried the father. And there is one father who buried two sons. That is Aaron, who buried his two sons, who were burned by God Almighty. And there is one more father who also buried two sons. Eli, the priest Eli. He also had to bury the own son because he died in the battle. So now, son honoreth father. Fulfillment of God. Amen? So now, how this changes of the places and the names is reflected in the people. Let's turn your Bibles to Genesis 35, verse 16 to 29. Genesis 35, verse 16 to 29. Yes. And they journeyed from Bethel. Okay? Let's start from one by one. Bethel means house of God. So they journeyed from house of God. What is the name of Jacob now? Because we are in chapter 35. His name was changed just few verses before. Same chapter, look at verse 10. Jacob was changed by God in his name. Your name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be the name, and he called his name Israel. That is verse 10. Amen. Now verse 16 says, and they journeyed from Bethel. There was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. So when Brother Zoel was reading the verses, how many people were traveling with Jacob before his name was changed? 11 sons. Amen? Jacob traveled in chapter 32. Let's go there so that you get what I'm saying. Chapter 32. And he rose up that night and took his two wives. Who are the two wives? He wanted Rachel, he got Leah. Then he got Rachel. God is faithful. So Leah and Rachel. Amen. And his two woman servants, Bilhah and Zilpha. And his 11 sons except Benjamin. Am I right? Because Benjamin is not born yet. Not born yet. And where it is happening now? This happens exactly before Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. After he moved from that place with his 11 sons, he passed over the fort Jabbok. It means emptiness. We empty our place, like hallowed place, like Bethel. So, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over that he had. So, Jacob journey is mentioned with 11 sons, two wives, two women servants. Bilhah and Zilpha, Leah and Rachel, 11 sons. So we agree on that. Now we go to 35, 16. Because Jacob is not complete yet. Do you see where I'm going? Until Benjamin is born, Jacob is not complete. Am I right? 12 sons completes the life of Jacob, which is Israel. But his life was not complete before his name was changed Israel. He was Jacob for all 11 sons, but he became Israel for the last, very last son, Benjamin. Chapter 35, verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had a hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. It is not her. If someone comes and tell you in your life, encouraging you, my brother, my sister, fear not. It is not them. It is God speaking through that vessel. If that fear not is encouraging you. If someone comes and tell you, fear not God, that is devil. Absolute adversary. Fear God and fear not anything else. Amen? Now let's go to Book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah. Why Jeremiah? Chapter 6. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 1. Woe ye, children of Benjamin. Imagine, we are the 11 other tribes listening to this. Judah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, all the other tribes listening to this. What, Benjamin? What about us? Why Benjamin is so special? What about us? Why Benjamin? Why Benjamin alone name is mentioned? Why verse 1, no other name mentioned but Benjamin? But he is dealing with kingdom of Judah, not kingdom of Benjamin. Kingdom of Judah was the focus of the life of prophetical ministry of Jeremiah. Amen. Verse 1, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. What about the rest? What about the rest? And blow the trumpet in Tekoa. What is Tekoa? what is this place? T-E-K-O-A. And set up a sign of fire in Bethakram. For evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The rest of the verses we studied in the last sermon. But I wanted to go back to this verse 1 about Benjamin. O ye children of Benjamin. Now let's turn your Bibles to Genesis 25:23. Rachel is having a hard labor. Let her wait for a while. Genesis 25:23. It says, from verse 22 I will read. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Who is this? And verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Nations, I thought children who will just come and scream, Mama, Papa. The Lord says, nations will come and rebel against me. And he says, the two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. What kind of statement from God when a woman is crying for, you know, pregnancy, you know, in the delivery? If you look at the first three verses, 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. I was laughing when I read this. Oh, these are the generations of Isaac. We are going to read a huge list. Abraham begat Isaac, full stop. These are the generations of God Almighty. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, full stop. One son, one house, one bride. The bride must run to go and hide in him in order for her to escape from everything that is about to come. Abraham begat Isaac, full stop. In the river of Jordan, the fullness of God dwelt, descended in Jesus Christ, the complete manifestation of God's word, who said, I am the Lord, your God. In the beginning, there was word. The word was with God. The word was God. And God speaks to Moses, I am Yahweh, your Elohim. I am the Lord, your God. I am burdened sometimes when people say Jesus was a man, struggled, prophet, Messiah, the Lord blessed him to have the complete manifestation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They always underplay one with another and have God the supreme, and they say, you know, it's like a ladder of corporate structure. My brethren, I am the Yahweh, your Elohim. No structure. It's same. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. And here it says, so beautifully, Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. How many years Israel was in the wilderness? 40. And how many years the promised son waited to take Rebekah? 40. For what? Come on, Isaac. You are young and super smart, handsome. Just be quick. 40 years, what this man was doing? Because he is the most waited son of the time, Isaac, son of Abraham. The whole people are looking at him. He was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram. You just heard the word Padan Aram. I was reading this few chapters ago. And the sister to Laban, the Syrian. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, but she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. This is the explanation of agape love that resonates, reconciles back and forth between the Creator and the creation. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, and the Lord entreated Isaac, and Rebekah conceived. Not with one, but with two. and the children struggled together within her. So there is a battle even before they come out. Like the words in our heart. No, the words that we meditate in our heart, out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaker. Even before the good words come out, it has to overcome, suppress, crush all the evil words and bring forth the words of life. Or I can choose, no, I'm so angry, you know. My familiar spirit is having a show against the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit ran away from my familiar spirit. I'm very angry, I'm going to show my anger. As if you overcome something, God just leaves the tabernacle. That is when we get angry. Do you understand? When we do something absolutely not acceptable to God, you did not overpower anything. The glory of the Lord left the tabernacle. You became empty and your flesh took over you. And it is important for you to go to Bethel, empty yourself for God to take over you again. Because house of God is called Bethel. If I remove El, what is it, my brother? Beth. I can be Beth anytime. Beth of someone, Beth of Baal, Beth of Ashtaroth, Beth of anything. Beth El, Elohim. I must empty myself. Now, when a pregnant woman is not empty because the child is inside, until the child comes out, she is not empty. The womb is not empty. She would travail in pain. Amen? Now let's go to Genesis 35. What happened to Rachel? Because Rebecca is the what? She is the mother-in-law of Rachel, daughter-in-law. Am I right? Like how Jethro and Moses, Rebecca and Rachel. Am I right? So what Rachel would think? My mother-in-law also had the same thing. Maybe two guys are inside. It's okay. The Lord will bring them out. At least one will be good. Because my mother-in-law did the same thing. Oh, surprise, he's my husband Jacob. Correct? Jacob the deceiver. So her husband Jacob, he already came from such a, you know, beautiful history. They have good track record. But what happened here, 35, is very different. We continue from verse 16, Genesis 35. We read unto verse 17, because the midwife said, fear not, thou shalt have this son. But the midwife did not say, fear not, thou shalt have a son and you will live. She said, thou shalt have this son also. You ask for a son, right? The Lord give you a son. What about me? You will die. Oh, not fair. I forgot to ask the prayer precisely. I should have done my work, you know. I should have done some consultancies, you know, just do some background check so that I can play out God. You can never play out God. You cannot be precise than the double-edged sword. He don't find corners. He is the way. We are the one who derail from the way. Look at verse next. Verse 18, and it came to pass as her soul was in departing. Soul was in departing as if, you know, it's like a journey. Stephen says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Spirit is walking from Stephen, from earthy realm to Jesus Christ standing in the right hand of the Father. He says, receive my spirit, Lord. It's coming. My soul is departing. And Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, right? When it was departing, he said, it is finished. It was processed. He could feel it is leaving. And she is also in the same process. It is leaving. For she died. Which means soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni. But his father called him Benjamin. But moving forward, I will be using the name as it is, because I do not feel comfortable to use the word English translation, because it does not reflect the accuracy, not the essence of what it means. It means Bin-Yamin. That is the name of Benjamin. Bin-Yamin. So, mother named, father overruled. In the last two church prayer gatherings, this verse we meditated before we prayed. We thank the Lord for showing this to us. Binyamin. Because Jeremiah says, O ye children of Benjamin. And when Rebekah gave birth, the Lord says, two nations are fighting. Okay. The younger shall be served by the elder. For what? Who is the first king of Israel? Saul, from the tribe of Benjamin. Who is Benjamin? The very last. When Joseph saw Benjamin, he could not stop crying. You know why? He knows His mother died when he was born. But yet he loves his brother more than anything else. How come? People see, oh, Joseph saw Benjamin. Maybe they had played some game. They were so close. He saw Benjamin. He remembers the mother died. She gave her life when Benjamin was born. Joseph saw his brother. He saw his mother's love. He hugged him and cried. He saw the sacrifice behind that. Rachel, she never gave up until she gave birth to two children. Why? It was not because she wanted to gain something. No, absolutely no. She wanted to be fruitful for her husband, Jacob. Fruitful. That unquenchable hunger to be fruitful for the husband. She gave birth to Joseph and Benjamin. One saved Israel, and Benjamin, the first king of Israel. The tribe of Benjamin is the most underrated, underestimated tribe in the tribe of Israel. I'll tell you why. Who is Mordecai? Who is Esther? Where are they from? Let's turn your Bibles to Esther chapter 2, verse 5 and 7. Esther chapter 2, verse 5 and 7. Please read this, brother. 5 and 7 and verse 15 also. Please read this for me. Esther.
Esther chapter 2, verse 5. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Yair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjamite.
A Benjamite. Yes.
Verse 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter.
Verse 15.
Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that Amen. Looked upon her.
Amen. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Romans 11, verse 1. I will read this. Book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 1. 11, verse 1. I say then, had God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Who is this? The apostle who brought the truth to the Gentiles. The apostles Gentiles celebrate. The apostle who went against all the odds, all the obstacles, restrictions from the Jews, his very own family. He went and preached the gospel to all the Gentiles. A life of a sacrifice was in the prison. He wrote about 13 books in the New Testament. Did you think about that? The one who wrote 5 books in the Old Testament, Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And in the New Testament, Apostle Paul said, hold my cup of tea. I wrote 13 books. He wrote 13 books, 13 letters from different experiences, different prison, and people are still studying, still learning from what this man wrote. Such a deep, deep words of life. Still, we are learning. 2,000 years of learning from what the Lord spoke through this man. Apostle Paul, he was not a king. He was not a big champion. A lonely man, always spending time in prison, no place to stay. He was keep on moving here and there. He had no big church, no name. Nobody knows what he was doing. He was like a forsaken servant of God, similar to Jeremiah. What's his name? Saul, from the tribe of Benjamin. Was the very first king of Israel? Saul. From the tribe of Benjamin. The world celebrated kings. The world killed prophets. The world killed apostles. Why? No power. No golden jewel. No nice palace. Poor man. God is not with you. At Benjamin's seed came in the New Testament. And God used Apostle Paul so mightily. To the point whereby he rebuked Peter. Can you imagine? Peter is older than Apostle Paul. And Peter represents God's promise to the church. Do you remember what the Lord spoke to Peter when he built the church? Matthew, let's learn from that. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Let's understand the word gate, city, land, changing names. Matthew 16, 18. Look at the word that Lord used, which is quite surprising. Chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." God can stop it there, right? He's giving promises, right? The word of God is giving promises. He did not stop there. He said one more. He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." My question is, what if he did not say that? God says in the Old Testament, "Let there be light." What happened? There was light. Now Jesus says to Peter, "You are the rock upon which I'll build my church." Good. Can I go now? Wait. "Gates of hell shall not prevail thee." That is the church of God. Gates of hell, influences of evil work, wickedness, spirit, shall not prevail over the church of God. That is the church of God that Jesus Christ is speaking about. Cannot separate. So what happened in this world, in those kingdoms, people were happy to form kingdom. King Manasseh, 53 years I'm a king. David, 33 years, small boy. 53 years. Manasseh, about 55 years he ruled. Uzziah ruled many years. Many kings ruled many years. They thought God is with them. Look at my track record, man. Look at the time. Stephen, I'm so poor. Barely I survived few days. They killed me. Oh, poor Stephen. 55 years. Manasseh. Jews embraced an evil king and they kept him in that seat for 55 years. Which means that represents God gave a king to the people of their own likeness. They could not dethrone him. Absalom dethroned David. David came back. But people of Israel could not dethrone Manasseh. How come? Because they were also enjoying the evil. Oh, nice high place. Lot of evil things we can do. Full freedom. Oh, God is still with us, okay? Because we are promised people of God. We can do anything. But the high priests keep on sacrificing. Animals are getting killed more and more because we are sinning more and more. They were forming an equation. Sacrifice is there. High priest is there. It's okay, right? We can wash. Poor heifer. Oh, I go and commit the sin. Oh, you kill this heifer, okay? Assertiveness. Sacrifices were taken for granted. God was being mocked, profaned, played by the harlotry of people spiritually. Now Jesus said, "Gates of hell shall not prevail." Verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." Not key. Now, remember, if there are multiple keys, there are multiple gates. Amen? Plural. Gates of hell. Gates, plural. Hell, one. Which means, you can go to hell in many ways. You can come to the Lord in many ways, but He is the way. But you can come to the Lord in many ways. Repentance. Experiencing the love. Receiving the servanthood. Many ways. And you can be a blessing to your brother and sister through many ways. You share your joy. You strengthen the faith. You express your long-suffering and testify. And someone is going through long-suffering. Be renewed. The fruit of the Spirit. 9 of them. But one Spirit. Like small piece instead of orange fruit. But one fruit. Open it. The seal of the Holy Ghost. I take one piece, give it to you. You take one piece, give it to me. We encourage, edify one another. Different gates of blessing, different gates of redemption, different gates of salvation, but one Spirit, one truth, one Lord. Keys of kingdom of heaven, you are the keys of kingdom, my dear brethren. If the Lord can tabernacle in you, if He can redeem a soul because of you, some soul found the key through you, you became the key. They opened and they tested the Lord's salvation. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever that thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He gave this promise to Peter. He didn't see Peter. Peter is a representation of apostolic faith. What is apostolic faith? He was being a strong-headed disciple. I can do all this. I will die for you. I will cut the ears. I will do this and that. When he was walking on the ocean, see, he was scared. He started sinking. He is a complete package of who we are. So excited, puffed up, but up and down. Then when we are completely repented, Peter was not the same old man again. Apostle Peter, who preached, 8,000 were baptized. That Apostle Peter. The Lord gave him the keys. What is the key? The double-edged sword pruned, pierced the hearts of men, pricked, their hearts were opened, and they received Christ. Keys of heaven. That Peter was rebuked by Apostle Saul. All other 10 disciples would say, evil Saul, you kill Stephen, now you rebuke Apostle Peter. My dear fellow apostles, let's all fast and pray, bring down the fire and burn Apostle Paul. Cannot. The agape was ruling the apostles. The Spirit of God was leading the apostles. The Word of God was sanctifying the apostles. It was lost in the last 7 churches. It's completely lost. Benjamin was a sign that God had put in the Old Testament. Saul, an unknown man from the very last tribe of Israel, will rule and will be the very first king. Was he a bad king? Absolutely no. Benjamin, when he was born, his mother died. You think he had a huge, fantastic history? His life was a life of pain. And Saul, he was just enjoying his life. He was brought to be a king. He fell from his anointing by disgracing the Lord. He died as an evil king, or as people call it, but he's not. He became a spectacle for the world to despise so that David can be exalted. Can you say David is good, Saul is bad? You cannot. One sacrificed by being the vessel of dishonor for one to become the vessel of honor. We cannot be always lusting after the vessel of honor. Because Stephen was vessel of dishonor. Jesus Christ was vessel of dishonor. Apostle Paul was vessel of dishonor. They were all put to shame. What means? That vessel of honor, that is old times, King David, is over. The Lord says, bear my reproach outside the camp. Go outside the gate. Now this gate, my dear brethren, read Philippians chapter 3 verse 5. Why this Benjamite, Apostle Paul, he's a Benjamite. Who is the current leader of Israel? Benjamin Netanyahu. Benjamin. Why his name has to be there? Especially when everything is going to come to an end. All of a sudden. Old Testament, Benjamin. The name of Israel changed to Israel, from Jacob to Israel. Rachel died, Benjamin was born. Jesus died, Apostle Paul was born, isn't it? Jesus died, resurrected, met Apostle Saul, who was Saul. He made him to become Apostle Saul. Joshua died, Judges came, Eli died, Samuel came and saw many people died. Saul, time for you to become the king. From the tribe of Benjamin. Abner, from the tribe of Benjamin. The friendship of the Old Testament. The moment you think about friendship, whose name will come? Jonathan, from which tribe? Benjamin. Isn't it? The best friend, Jonathan, Benjamite. Esther, virtuous woman, from the tribe of Benjamin. Mordecai, from the tribe of Benjamin. Apostle Paul, Benjamin. King Saul, Benjamin. The current leader, Benjamin. This Benjamin, who was born after the mother died. Who was born after the father received the name Israel from God Almighty. Let's turn our Bibles to Numbers 13:22. Numbers 13:22. I want to show you the significance of Hebron so that we understand these places well. 13:22. 40 days of searching. Chapter 13, verse 21, I will read from. So they went up and search the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron. So this is where Israel refuses to enter Canaan. Joshua and Caleb, they go for a conquest. This is the book of Numbers. And they descended unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, and children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Now remember the words Hebron, because now Joshua and Caleb, now they are mentioned along those, no, those verses, the word Hebron. Joshua chapter 10. This is after the death of Moses. Joshua chapter 10. I will just read one verse before I go there. Verse 5. Therefore the five kings of Amorites, the king of Jerusalem. But the word Jerusalem was given when David took over Jebusites. Correct? In the later stages. But here we are studying the place so that we can remember what's happening to the particular land. The king of Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron. King of Jerusalem represented one. King of Hebron represented two. Correct? So there are two. And the king of Jarmuth, king of Lachish, king of Eglon gathered themselves together and went up. And all their hosts encamped before Gibeon. They made war against it. So, in this verse, there are five kings mentioned. King of Jerusalem, king of Hebron. Two of them among the five. Chapter 14, Joshua. Chapter 14, verse 12. Chapter 14, verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him. Caleb. Joshua is blessing Caleb, okay? Blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Caleb is a good friend to Joshua. Amen. They were always together, like David, Jonathan. And Joshua blessed Caleb and he gave inheritance Hebron. The word Hebron, inheritance, was mentioned when Abraham received it as an inheritance with the plains of Mamre and also the Machpelah, you know, the place, a place of burial. Now Caleb received, verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Which means, Bethel, the house of God, was a hallowed place, wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb received it. It was given to him. Now let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 11. Look at this transition. We are crossing Samuel, Saul. 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 11. Yes, after that we will read 1 Samuel. 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 11. I will read this. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. When Joshua's, the chapter, when the five kings were mentioned in chapter 5 verse 5, five kings were mentioned, one king of Jerusalem, one king of Hebron. Amen. And here we see David reigned Hebron 7 years, and he reigned Jerusalem 33 years. Now let's turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1. One chapter before. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel, which means all, 12. Amen? All. All the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. All the tribes of Israel came unto Hebron and tell David, we are thy bone and thy flesh. You should remember when Eve was created, what Adam said about her. My flesh of my flesh, my bone of my bone. Just to just to remind her, you are from me. And all the tribes are telling David, your bone, your flesh. If we bring in the son of David, Jesus Christ, the bride will tell him, your bone and your flesh, take us back in. We belong to you. I belong to you. I'm part of you. Part of the word, tell the word of God, bone of thy bone. Jeremiah says, the word of the Lord shut in my bone like a burning fire. Oh yeah, I am your bone. And Jeremiah said, the Lord will raise his children even from a dry flesh. Oh yes, I am your flesh. Ezekiel says, from the valley of dry bone, the Lord is able to raise people. Okay, I am your bone, I am your flesh. I am your word, I am your way. And we tell this to the way of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the word of God, Jesus Christ. And the tribes of Israel, all, they tell him as a whole, who? The 12 sons of Jacob, your bone, your flesh. For us, you are the king. That's why he became the king for 7 years. This 7 years, you should remember very clearly, it will happen the same when the tribulation comes, 7 years, three and a half. Amen? 3.5 years, peaceful, wonderful. 3.5 years, great tribulation. 7 years, someone will also come and rule. The same way, they will also take him. You are our bone, you are our flesh. We receive you as our king. The king of the earth, the king of the world will come and rule. Give you fake peace before the Lord comes and put an end. 70th week of Daniel, we will step and march forward towards that as the Lord leads. But before that, we really have to understand the word gate, gates. Gate and gates. It's extremely important for us to understand. So now David requested and he became a king. That is good. So, if you look at this, plains of Mamre and place of Hebron. In Hebrew, it means a place of joining. Like two people, you know, form alliance or make friendship. That is what Hebron. Do you remember when God met Abraham? Genesis 18. In the plains of Mamre, the trees of terebinth, it's called terebinths of Mamre, which means the mighty oak tree. The place of Mamre, it had a lot of oak groves, like mangrove trees, like grove of oak trees. And the Lord met him in Ammah under one of the trees. It's like a representation of all of us in the Garden of Eden. There was the tree of life. The Lord wanted to meet Adam and Eve, but they chose some other tree, knowledge of good and evil. And Abraham was waiting in the heat of the day. If you remember the scripture, the Bible says he was waiting at the heat of the day. He was sitting at the gate. Abraham was sitting at the gate. And the Lord came and met him under the tree with his two angels. Plains of Mamre, place of joining. God made a covenant with Abraham. Amen. He gave the promised son Isaac under the tree in the place of Mamre near Hebron. Plains. And David became a king in Hebron. Joshua gave inheritance to Caleb, his friend, Hebron. The word Hebron represents friendship, alliance. So all these places, my brethren, were named to show the significance of the place. Now, what is this significance of the name Ben Oni? What does it mean? And Bin Yamin, what does it mean? So the mother named the son Ben-Oni. And the midwife told her, calm down, you are in pain, hard labor, you are frustrated, anger, you are sacrificing yourself, your soul is departing. And she named the son Ben-Oni. It means the son of my sorrows. And the father changed the name instantly, who is Jacob, son of strength. Or son of right hand. Because right hand means strength. So, the name, original name was sorrow. And the new name was strength. Mother named him sorrow. Father named him strength. Wife said something. Husband undone what the wife said. In Sodom and Gomorrah, have you all meditated this? The Bible says, wife of Lot turned right, she became pillar of salt. Answer me, what about the three? Lot and the two daughters are also walking right. They know that the wife is not walking behind. They could not hear her. they could not listen to her answer because she turned back. What if the three of them also turned back? What happened to our mother? What happened to my wife? Then you would have seen four people turn to be a pillar of salt in that chapter. That is next chapter, Genesis 19. After what the event in plains of Mamre. But if the Bible says Lot turned and became pillar of salt, the other three, they still stood obedient to what was told and they will keep on walking behind the will of God. Amen? That part, sometimes we don't think about it because we are so distracted, poor wife of Lot. But what about the rest? Would you do this? You're walking on the road, suddenly a big train comes and takes one of your loved ones, would you still keep walking? No, you would turn and you would scream, you would cry. But if those three did not turn, what happened there? What happened to that Lot who still had to run from the place of Zoar to hide in the cave? If not, something is wrong with those two daughters. She was fearful of those two daughters because the people may do something to her. But she did not see that these two daughters are going to be his problem. And they gave him Ammonites and Moabites. And yet the Lord showed mercy, opened the gate of Moabite, and he brought Ruth. Amen? How merciful. All these places, my brethren, it shows us how merciful God was, even at the wrong turns, U-turns of our life. He stood faithful in our life. This place may sound very bad, right? Massa, Meribah, people tempted the Lord, obeyed not. No. You know how you should read this? People obeyed not, but yet the Lord destroyed them not. Amen? That place was not the end of the place. The Lord did not make it as an end. He showed mercy. He was still with them. Now, we have brought different names of places from Baal Perazim all the way to Mamre Hebron. And we have brought this single man, the son of Israel, the only son who was born in the promised land. Do you know? Benjamin is the only son to Jacob who was born in the promised land. And his name was changed to Binyamin. He is the only son who was named by mother, father changed the name. Who named Abraham? God? No. Terah and his mother. But Abraham's name changed to Abraham later. The father changed the name. Who named Jacob? His mother, Rebekah. But who changed the name to Jacob from Israel? Father. The earth, which is always represented as a mother, from dust we are all created, and to dust we all will return. It has given us the name of a mortal being, right? That we will live and die. But the Lord changed your name. The book of Revelation says you have a name on your forehead. Amen? When you receive the new name, you are not part of this world. You belong to Him. So now, where these gates come? Book of Psalm. Let's read Book of Psalm. Chapter 118. Psalm 118. We really have to take this with joy and sincerity. These words, gates and gate. Chapter 118, verse 19. I will read. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Plural. Amen. Agree with me. Singular or plural? Plural. Multiple gates. Open ye the gates of righteousness. Because the Lord can redeem you through multiple experiences, different ways, pain or joy. He can deliver you through different paths because He knows how to catch this fish by net or by a hook. He knows. Open to me, Lord, the gates of righteousness. Okay. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. Verse 19 shows different ways of the Lord, different works of the Lord, different servants of the Lord, different kingdoms of the Lord throughout the time, how we are all blessed. Different ministries, different fivefold. You can take this example from different angle. But look at verse 20. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. All of a sudden, singular has taken its root. This gate, through which the righteous shall enter. To attain the righteousness, multiple gates. Amen? To enter into that gate, you must be righteous. Which gate? Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 10. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. It could be simply stopped there when they entered into the marriage. The curtain was closed, so you can open the curtain again. It was not a curtain. A door was shut. Verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. The door was shut, the Lord says, I know you not. The door was open, the Lord says, I draw you closer to me. Come, return unto me. Which door? What door? Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. So to Peter, remember what the Lord said, gates of hell shall not prevail. And book of Psalm, gates of righteousness. So gates of righteousness, gates of hell. And gate to enter. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Singular or plural? Singular. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be find in it. When Jesus Christ introduced him, I am the door, the true translation, it says, I am the gate. He did not say door. The accurate translation of what Jesus said in his language, it is translated as, I am the gate by which ye shall enter. And it's in the song, I will enter his gate with, quotes, thanksgiving and no praise. That is gates, right? So now, we have seen gate and gates. Second Chronicles chapter 14 verse 7. After this, we will bring it to an end and we will continue as the Lord leads next Sunday. Second Chronicles chapter 14 and 7 and Nehemiah. We will read these two verses. Let's go to Second Chronicles first. Chapter 14 verse 7. Look at the importance of prosperity that comes with it. Second Chronicles chapter 14 verse 7. I will read this. Yes. It says, let's read from 6. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. As simple as that. That's why there was no war. Verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls, towers, gates, bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. So they did not prosper before they built it. They built and they prospered. What they built? Walls, iron gates, bars, everything to strengthen the protection of the city. Isn't it? Now look at Nehemiah, how he identified this particular verse. Nehemiah 2:17. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 17. So Nehemiah is inspecting the walls, very similar to Jeremiah was inspecting the hearts of people. Both the names are very similar. Jeremiah, Nehemiah. In Hebrew, Eremiyahu, which means in Hebrew, Nehemiyahu. That is the name of these two servants. One is a prophet, one is a builder. And he came a much later time, right? Nehemiah says, verse 17, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in. Can you see how distressed we are? How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Because the gates are burned with fire, Jerusalem lost its protection. Anyone can invade her. And come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. That we cannot be the reproach to the name of the Lord. So Nehemiah says, enough is enough. Let's put an end to this madness. Let's draw the line. But the gates were mentioned in Nehemiah's work. The rest of the verses we shall continue next Sunday. But today I am going to end the sermon with images. How we ended last Sunday. So that we keep this in your meditation. And I encourage you all, meditate Nehemiah 2 and 3. So that we will continue with Jeremiah. But Jeremiah said very clearly, house of God, gate. He called the people to come and stand at the gate. Jeremiah is commanding them. So Old Testament shows different places of names. And also this particular servant of God, whose name was changed, which also represents the importance of how the Lord can see us differently. Even the very own loved ones can see you differently. But the Lord can see, change, mold us differently according to His will, so that we will be of use to Him. Now, gates. Let's start from the first. We will finish it with these images. I will quickly go through the images. So now, is there any gate here? It's a plain, no gate. Just people who are nothing but the gates. East gate, west gate, south gate, north gate, and inside Levites are safe and secure, right? All four sides, God's assembly is gathered. And as I mentioned, you can add these numbers, you can add these numbers, add this, you will draw a perfect cross. Exactly the same dimensions, proportions of a cross. Like a head and a body and two hands. From here to here and from here. Like 10, 18, 15, 15. That's what you will see when you count these numbers. And Levites are the center. This is where sacrifices are made. No gates and only curtains, and high priest only allowed to enter. And Shekinah glory comes and the smoke is seen by people of God. This is the state of wilderness. Amen. In the tabernacle, which we are zooming in, we have seen these different components. I would say, if you consider tabernacle as a body, because you are a tabernacle, right? Right hand, left hand, mouth, nose, eyes, ears. You could see all of those that represents the body of Christ, which has a purpose of its own. You could see skin, hair, and curtain to cover, and the Holy of Holies that is always sealed, that people cannot see. Only high priest can see. Now, what is inside? Don't forget what is inside. Holy of Holies. The ark is kept inside. The veil to cover the ark. And the altar of incense for the high priest to offer. The lampstand and the bread and showbread. Holy place. And the last one is outer veil. So, it's like a sealed enclosure. And it's also enclosed by a curtain like a wall. And through this gate or the entrance curtain, not a gate per se, and the animals are brought inside, slaughter tables, altar of sacrifice, labor court, all these things were done in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus. This is wilderness and the tabernacle. Amen. Now let's go to the next one. The pillar of smoke was to be seen by people. Red heifer, we had a topic on backsliding. All these verses, I pray that you meditate in this week. Wonderful words of life that shows the transition from Exodus all the way to the book of Hebrews. From Moses all the way to what the Lord did, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All the way. The transition of physical tabernacle made by hands of men to the heavenly in the New Testament. So you could read these verses, okay? Now, I am moving to New Testament. In the New Testament, they try to copy, mimic what was done in the Old Testament. Why? Because they have Tanakh, the Hebrew ways of remembering Ketuvim, Nevi'im. We had this series, how many books they read and how many they don't. Especially the first five books of Moses is everything to them. Amen? So they follow exactly what is written, so they build everything in the same manner. Inside the holy place, everything was same as in the past. But outside it became more modernized, no, civilized, because of, no, for them it is technology, making stones, bricks, wall, they are building cities. The courts of the Gentiles, courts of women, you could see the separation was there. And the sacrifice, there were still slaughter tables. And they put gates. This time, there are gates. South gates, north gates, eastern gates, beautiful gate, royal portico, Solomon's portico, golden gate. They put different gates. Why? Because there are kings, generals, different hierarchy of Pharisees, Sadducees, high priests, normal people, Gentiles. There were a lot of classification. There were a lot of, you know, hierarchy. They had gates and they put gatekeepers that only they can enter this way. So this is where you start seeing the word gates, north gates, south gates. Now, on the high level view of how it looks, north and south, both the side, Gentiles court was presented. Do you see? Both the north side and the south side, Gentiles court were presented where they can stand and witness, but they can't enter. Because they are Gentiles, not Jews, not Hebrews. Solomon portico is called Eastern, which is called the Golden Gate. I will come there. Pool of Siloam was there, for they were still practicing the baptism of John, you know, in those days. So they had some pools all around. And Royal Portico was there. This is very important concerning the day of Pentecost and after that when Peter made a speech. In which location he was speaking, you know, around these porticos. Because the space must have enough, you know, room for thousands of people to gather to listen to him. So this must be such a massive structure. So now let's go a bit higher on the city level. This is the temple that we were focusing in the past, you know, two images. Now I'm zooming out. In the old times, they had a wall to protect the city. And the gate, sheep gate, is something very important. What is sheep gate? So only sheep can enter. When Nehemiah rebuilt the wall, he started from the gate number one. He called it as sheep gate. Then he named every other gate. Okay? Then they rebuilt the temple and the wall, but again it was destroyed in 70 AD by Romans. Now sheep gate, temple is inside, palace of Solomon, palace of David. Now you can see the location of David's palace. You should not be surprised. How come he was able to see Bathsheba when she was bathing? Because his palace is focusing on the city view. He had a good balcony where he could fall from his grace. Because this is David's palace and this is Solomon's palace. They had some different locations. So now, remember this. If I populate that city, which was empty before, with how it was in the time of Jesus Christ, in the time of gospel, city of David was called Lower City. It had a water gate. An upper city called Mount Zion Upper City. Ascend gate, Gentiles court, as we just saw here. Beautiful gate, Acts chapter 3. Remember the lame who was waiting for the healing? Peter and John brought him inside, which means they brought him inside the temple. Why? Peter and John, they were still Jews. They were allowed to go inside. Amen? Although they were preaching Christ. Beautiful gate of Solomon, Gentiles court, Eastern or Golden Gate. This Golden Gate is absolutely important for us for the time that we live in. Sheep Gate. It is not just for a city that is outside here, but the temple itself, there was a sheep gate, and the pool of Bethsaida behind the sheep gate. Okay? Remember these images. We will make sure this, you know, as we go. Go to the next one. Yes. Now, Nehemiah chapter 3 is what you will meditate when the time you have time. But there is one word I want you to remember this. It starts from sheep gate, it ends with prison gate. Because he was rebuilding the wall. But this word disappeared in the later time because they built prisons everywhere. Because they were taken over by kingdoms. Romanian kingdom. Now sheep gate and this word horse gate, remember this, Atalia. When Joash was anointed, Jehoiada was there as a strong tower for the small king, 6-year-old. The Bible says Atalia sneaked in through horse gate. Okay? She entered through the horse gate like a beastly nature enters to divide the divine plans of God. But Jehoiada ordered her to be killed, and they killed her, and they took her body through the house gate. The way she came, the way she was taken out. But she could not enter the place where Jehoiada was anointed. So, house gate, prison gate, and sheep gate. So, this is the simple representation of gates in Nehemiah's time, which is shown here. The temple is still in between, because this is before the time of Jesus Christ. After this, 400 years plus, the Lord came. Amen? So now, remember these images, and please stop. Let's all stand. I wanted to show the importance of gate and gates, the word Benjamin, which Prophet Jeremiah used in chapter 6 and chapter 7. So please meditate chapter 5, 6, 7 and remember these names and these gates, because Book of Revelation says there are 12 gates, and all those 12 gates are named after the 12 tribes of Israel. May the Lord guide us as we continue to learn from Him. Amen. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. You are the gate, You are the door, and when we open Thy marvelous light in our life, we start walking in the way, and Lord, You are the way. And thank You, Lord, for separating every one of us by Your truth and sanctifying us. And Lord, it is a wonderful blessing that we all receive, that we all enter to this course of praise by the gates of righteousness. Every one of us, we are witnessed by some brother or some sister. We saw You in them. Every one of us, we were touched, we were encouraged, we were pruned, we repented, we were, Lord, celebrated in Your word of God when the angels were singing and dancing when we received Your name. Because, oh Lord, You opened the gates of righteousness to us. The way You opened the womb of Rachel, Benjamin came out. The way You opened the womb of Rebekah, Esau and Jacob came out. Lord, the womb itself is a gate. Lord, like how the earth cries, O Lord, we all cry unto Thee, O Father. We wait for Thy coming. May You teach us to wait patiently, not in our patience, not in our complacence, but in the long-suffering and the patience of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit. And while we do so, O Lord, help us. The gate of our house is Jesus Christ, and the gates of our house is us, the children of God. We are, Lord, we are Your gates, and You speak through us. You walk in and You go out through us. And Lord, may You bless us that we remain as Your gates. Because the Bible says, the words of the Lord to the word of God. When the Lord says, I am the Lord of lords, King of kings. You are the gate, we are the gates. You are the ark, we are the arks. And Lord, bless us that we remain as Your way of doing good things, thinking good things. Blessed be Your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.